Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
The Jets survived one must-win game against the Texans. They have a lot more coming, starting with a trip to the desert to face the Cardinals this weekend. Welcome to the Flight Plan Podcast. I'm Tim McMaster, along with Zach Rosenblatt, the Athletics Jets reporter, on the show today, grading the Mike Williams trade. We'll talk about if it was necessary, what the Jets got back, all that fun stuff. Looking back on our preseason over-unders, we'll point out some of the ones that have already gone off the rails here at the midway point in the season. We'll preview that Cardinals game and check in on our picks, giving out another award to last week's weekly winner. So congratulations to that person. We'll get to that a little bit later. Zach, how you doing?
I'm good. A little extra break. I always appreciate, the Jets are hoping to have a better back half of the season. And I think I'm going to have a better back half of the season too. So I am personally excited to go back to Arizona. I mean, as some people know on here, at least I listened when we were Can't Wait. Went to University of Arizona, lived out there for like 4.5 years after school. That was in Tucson, not Phoenix, but a lot of my college friends are still in Phoenix. And my little brother lives out there. Fiance is coming with her first time meeting some of these people. So it's one of the perks of this job is getting to go to places like Arizona, which I love. So, and Arizona in November, although I will say,
yeah, I was going to say,
the weather here is better today than in Phoenix. Like, it's like 80 degrees here, and I think it's in like high 60s or something in Phoenix. So but yeah, as I always say, if you guys, any of you are going to be out in Phoenix, let me know, and I'm happy to provide recommendations because I know a lot of great food spots and bars and stuff.
Are you staying in Phoenix or Glendale? Because Glendale is like
You don't stay in Glendale. There's nothing. It's so far out of the way. It's one of the worst setups in terms of stadiums. I kind of compare it to New England a little bit because yeah, Foxborough is kind of in the middle of nowhere, so you're not like really in Boston or Providence, and there's not really much to do in Foxborough outside of like Patriots Place or whatever they call it. And it's kind of like that in Glendale. Scottsdale and Phoenix, they're a little far away, but so I think you generally want to stay in Phoenix or Scottsdale depending on what you want to do. And yeah, I love going out to the desert. Some great Mexican food out there. I can't wait to have some of that. I the food down in Tucson is better than in Phoenix. I'm biased, but it should be a fun trip and hopefully a good game. Because the Cardinals, and we're going to get into this when we do the preview, they're a better team than I think people probably realize. And I told people before the season, I thought they were going to be sneaky good. I didn't think maybe not a playoff team, but they're sneaky good. They're well coached. So it's not going to be an easy game. I think it's pick 'em right now. And I think the Cardinals were favored at first, so clearly the money's coming in with the Jets. If people are high on the Texans game, I guess, but I think this is going to be a good game.
The one time I went to Phoenix for baseball spring training when I worked for Major League Baseball, I usually got Florida, but one year they gave me Phoenix and I stayed in Glendale. Not my fault. The person I went with was had worked for the Dodgers, and the Dodgers spring training is in Glendale. So he was right, like, yeah, we'll just stay there. I know the area. And then we got there and I was like, so we could have stayed in Scottsdale and you chose to stay.
Oh God.
Here. Yeah.
If you terrible. Don't know, then I guess I could see you messing it up, but yeah,
he knew though. But anyway, we won't say names. We won't name names. All right. Let's get into the Jets. Let's get into the trade deadline first. We weren't sure about what would happen with Mike Williams, partially because of the injuries, right? And yeah, let's get into that. Like, Alan Lazard's not going to be with this team for a while. So now you have, obviously, the big two, but that was Mike Williams. So let's start there. Do you think it was the Jets' mindset that even though this is going to lessen our wide receiver room, at least until Lazard gets back, like, this guy doesn't really know the playbook, yeah, so it's still worth getting rid of him?
Yeah, and I think a big part of it was he wasn't contributing. He wasn't a good fit ultimately, and you could argue about why he wasn't a good fit. I mean, not knowing the plays, obviously he's not good, but they weren't using him to his skill set, which is you throw it down the field to him. Aaron Rodgers was not throwing the ball down the field, and two of the losses this season ended on passes intended for him that were interceptions. One that Aaron blamed on him, and the other that Aaron put on himself in the Vikings game. But also, you know, I think there's a few layers to this. I think you could say they probably believe Lazard will be back when he's eligible to come back. He's going to miss two more games, and then they have a bye. And then you hope he's back after that. This gives them a chance to get a really better look at Malachi Corley. Irv Charles is a guy that Aaron Rodgers went out of his way to mention today. So I imagine that means he's going to be playing more. I don't think he's shown much as like a receiver, but he's that big body type. So we'll get a shot. But, you know, the trade market for these guys has gotten so in-season trade market for players has gotten like so wild to me, because you have dudes like DeAndre Hopkins was traded for a conditional fifth, I believe. Whereas in the offseason, Jahan Dotson was traded to the Eagles for a third round pick. So like something about these in-season trades, these guys just go for nothing. Za'Darius Smith, who's like a Pro Bowl caliber pass rusher still, I think, traded the Lions for like a fifth and a sixth or whatever it was. Like, I don't have the trade in front of me, but it like was not much. And so it blows my mind that more teams don't like go and get these guys. And I'm sure a lot of it's a financial commitment, but anyway, relative to the market for wide receivers, a fifth round pick for Mike Williams, who had 10 catches for like 130 yards, is pretty good value. Is a fifth round pick really going to ultimately contribute that much? Like, I think probably not at this rate. I think those picks have become even more devalued, but considering the market, it was pretty good value for the guy. I do question like trading him away considering their depth, as we talked about, but you know, now it's time for the guy they drafted in the third round and they hyped so much, Malachi Corley, to step up. You know, he had that bad moment, but if not for that bad moment last week where he drops the ball at the goal line, that was a pretty sweet play, and it was a good sign. But
it wasn't a catch, but
yeah, it wasn't a catch, which is part of it, and that's also like a part of like the question I have is like, okay, so Mike was the outside guy. You had Devontae and or Garrett on the other side, and then Devontae and or Garrett in the slot pretty much was how they were rolling, or Xavier Gibson would occasionally come in. Malachi Corley is not an outside receiver, and Xavier Gibson is certainly not. So are you running more 12 personnel? Are you actually playing Irv Charles more? Or are you just making Garrett and Devontae the outside guys and you're playing Xavier Gibson in the slot? Like, I don't know if that's your best combo. So, you know, I think maybe the hope is that Malachi can just really step up now. The fact that they didn't believe in him enough to even like, you know, have him active on game day for a few weeks was not a good sign, but you know, they believe in his talent. So I think we're going to really find out, you know, what Malachi Corley looks like, I think, on Sunday, because I think he's going to play quite a bit. And if that works out, then this trade looks even better, because then you just opened up some space for your rookie to play.
All right. So that's the move they made. We should talk about the moves that they didn't make, because there's definitely a world where, like, so they hang on to DJ Reed. Obviously, DJ Reed is a star of this team that you'd love to be a long-term Jet. They hold on to Reddick. They hold on to Tyler Conklin. I mean, there's a definite world here, Zach, where they lose Sunday, season's over, and they could have gotten something for these players and they didn't.
Yeah, I think DJ Reed is traded if they lose to the Texans. I will say DJ did like a teasy thing with the fans where like a couple days before the trade deadline, he just only tweeted with some eyeball emojis. And then as the deadline was passing, he tweeted like a sad, like crying emoji. And fans were like, does this mean he's getting traded? What is this? He wound up not getting
traded. Or does that mean he wishes he had gotten traded?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. And I wasn't able to ask him about it in the locker room. But I know for a fact that teams called. I know Diana Rossini at The Athletic reported that Washington was asking around about all corners before they traded for Marshon Lattimore. DJ was on the list. I think the Jets weren't willing to trade him. Or if they were, it's probably more than they were asking for. I know before that Texans game, there was at least one team that was interested but didn't want to pay his full salary. So, like, there was definitely conversations about DJ Reed going to another team because, you know, he's going to be free agent this offseason. He's talked pretty openly, publicly and privately, about both how the Jets haven't really approached him about a new contract, at least that was as of earlier in the year, and about how he wanted to test free agency because I think he knows that he's earned a pretty big payday because he's been fantastic. He doesn't have any interceptions, so it might be hard for him to make the Pro Bowl again, even if he deserves it. But he's been, I think, their best corner week to week, frankly. I think the Sauce stuff has been overblown, but I do think DJ has been better than him, like just game by game. So, so that's, you know, it's a situation where the Jets are, they believe they can turn their season around. And so if you believe that, you're not going to go and trade a guy like that. You're not going to trade away Tyler Conklin when the other tight ends haven't really shown anything. I think Ruckert's been bad. You know, you have Hassan Reddick. Maybe he's on the block if you lose that game. I don't know what people are trading for him, but, you know, does he have a long-term future here? I'm not so sure. But all those guys together are very good players. And so if the Jets can turn the season around, if you can beat the Cardinals, beat the Colts, go into the bye with a 3-game winning streak, you feel way better about yourself at 5-6 than you do at, you know, let's say they lose the next two or whatever. So if you can win these games and go on a little run, then you have the talent to be pretty good. But yeah, you know, I wouldn't say I was surprised they didn't trade those guys away. I do think very quickly it could turn into, you know, if this stretch doesn't, if they don't build on that second half in Houston, if they go and put up a stinker against Arizona, especially the Colts, because the Colts are an AFC team and they'll be hypothetically one of the teams you have to consider in the wild card race. Like if you lose to that team, then all of a sudden you're probably out of the playoff hunt and you're not really going to get anything for these guys outside of maybe compensatory picks. But even that's not a lock if you like sign your own players. So it's a complicated thing and it's a tough line to balance. And we talked to this a little bit. I always wonder, like a GM who knows he's probably on the way out if things don't work out, mm-hmm. what does it benefit him to give the next GM a bunch of draft picks? I mean, he got one for Mike Williams, but I don't know that trading DJ Reed really does anything for Joe Douglas right now. So I don't know how aggressively he's like shopping around either. So anyway, ultimately they won that Texans game, which just changed everything. Cause if you lose that game, it's over. Like they ultimately, you're not going to come back from having, you know, having a 2-7 record or whatever. So that win changed a lot. That Garrett Wilson catch changed a lot, and we'll see if they build on it.
Yeah, we certainly will. Speaking of Joe Douglas, he spoke today about a lot of different topics coming off the trade deadline. One interesting thing he talked about, though, that you guys asked him about was the fact that, by reports, he wasn't involved in the firing of Robert Saleh. This is what he had to say about that.
I'm not going to get into any of the details or any of the conversations that happened before or after that. But again, you know, Woody and I talk every day. And so at the end of the day, you know, I think Golden Powell said it, but in a different arena. But I serve at the pleasure of the owner. And so my single goal is to help this team get to the goal of championship. And so obviously, again, not the start that anybody envisioned, but we still have it all in front of us. And you know, it's just doing a little thing better and executing and stacking some wins.
Makes it sound like while he wasn't involved in the decision, he knew about it. He makes it sound like he knew about it by saying, like, I talk to Woody every day. Now, I don't know if that day he talked to Woody after.
Well, I will say Woody did say that it was his decision and his decision alone. So it's not like a speculatory thing. Yeah. But yeah, you know,
Colin Powell poll was
in. Yeah, I was going to say, but did not have that on my bingo card out of all the weird stuff that's happened. I was trying to find that quote. I tried Googling. I couldn't find it anywhere. I'm sure it's real, but or maybe like it wasn't exactly in that context. I'm sure it was something like I work, you know, in, at the pleasure of the president or whatever. But yeah, you know, the thing with these Joe Douglas press conferences, and, you know, it's hard not to think that was probably our last press conference with him unless this season really, really turns around. He's in the last year of his contract anyway, which is a factor. But, you know, these progressively have just gotten more and more somber in tone. Like he was never like a big talker. He was never someone who's, you know, chopping it up with these amazing quotes or anything like that. But the energy has absolutely changed. This press conference was, he's done it in the press conference room before. Today he did it outside, ironically in the same area where 4 years ago Woody Johnson had his first press conference after coming back from Trump. And, you know, Robert Saleh had just been hired and there was, you know, all this hope about the future of the team. And now we're 4 years later, Robert Saleh's fired, Joe Douglas probably on the way out, and maybe Woody potentially leaving again. But yeah, you know, it was, so these press conferences have gotten like, you, it's hard to like put into words. Like he just is not the same person he was when he got here. And I know that happens, but
his
just demeanor is just like, so like downtrodden right now. And he was trying to stay positive, talking about like the belief he has coming out of that Texans second half. Like they're all preaching about that second half, forgetting about how bad the first half was, but talking about it being a launching point because they have no choice but for it to be a launching point. But you know, and you know, he's asked questions about like fans who say he's had all this time to win and they haven't done it. He's like, I mean, yeah, we have not won, and I put that on me, and there's a lot of mistakes I've made and all this stuff, which we all know. But yeah, it's just a sad state of affairs, because I generally don't think he's a bad general manager. Has he made some moves that are bad? Absolutely. And maybe it's all relative because he's so much better than the other GMs they've had, John Idzik and Mike Maccagnan in particular. But I think generally he is a pretty good GM. I think he is well respected around the league. He has made a lot of mistakes. Free agent wide receivers, I tweeted about it, like he's been a disaster signing free agent wide receivers. Offensive line's been an issue. Quarterback Zach Wilson, like, made a lot of mistakes along the way, but he's made a lot of good, smart moves too. So I don't know if he'll be a GM ever again. He will land on his feet. He'll get a good job somewhere as assistant GM. Maybe he down the line finds another job. I don't know. But yeah, it's the fact that we've gotten to almost the end of his sixth year and they haven't really sniffed the playoffs, and they might not this year either, is, you know, it's hard to overcome that ultimately. I mean, the fact that he got it to the end of that contract without making the playoffs is pretty rare. So
you talked about, you know, how somber it is. They always show like the picture of the president before he takes office, and then 4 years later, and it looks like the president has aged like 20 years.
They did that with Saleh a lot over the years. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like that's Joe Douglas now, like 4 years as president, 6 year stint running the Jets, like similar, has a similar mental health impact. Speaking of president, those things, it's already in the chat a little bit here. There's plenty of speculation that Woody will go back and serve Donald Trump now that he's going to be president again. That's the vibe in the building.
I think so. I think it's kind of just been an assumption from all levels that if Trump were to win again, Woody would rejoin him. I mean, he's been pretty actively campaigning for Trump. He's been on the news channels. He's he obviously has thrown his support behind him over the years, and especially during this election cycle. And they're friends. I think they keep in touch. So I don't think anybody like knows for certain, or as of like the election starting, knew for certain if it would happen, because I don't think even Trump could have said that, because he has to win the election in order to start appointing people and whatever position he wants to give Woody if he does. But yeah, so I'd say I think the assumption has generally been that if Trump won, Woody would join him again. And if Woody joins him again, that means Christopher Johnson would take over again. And I think it is notable that over this season, Christopher has been around way more. I see him in the locker room after every game. Whereas I think last year especially last year and a little bit the year before, he was not around as much, I would say, on the day to day. So I think that's a good sign as any that it's going to happen. what that means, what it leads to, you know, Christopher Johnson hypothetically leading another GM and head coaching search. I know fans point to the fact that he hired Adam Gase and he also hired Saleh and Douglas, though I don't think anybody can blame him for hiring those two because those two were the hot candidates at both spots when he hired them. Like, I think to say that that was a bad move is, you know, short-sighted and, you know, hindsight is 20/20 type stuff. Gase was a bad one. And Maccagnan was involved in that hiring, and the whole the way they handled the Maccagnan thing was a disaster. But I do think Christopher is smart and he's learned a lot from his mistakes previously. I think more than Woody, and I'm writing about this week, but more than Woody, I think Christopher, he does not want to be as involved, I would say. I think he wants to hire the right people and let them run the show for good or for worse. But I think you prefer that out of an owner as opposed to, you know, the owners that are that get way, way too involved and are there every day and all that stuff. So I think it's something to keep an eye on. You know, it'll be interesting to see how it looks and how it plays out. But if I was predicting, I would say yes, that he rejoins Trump and leaves for another 4 years.
Somehow those owners who are really involved never seem to be dealing with good teams. Not sure. All right. We did over unders before the season started. We always do that. We're halfway through, and I thought this would be a fun time to check in just because it's not going well for us, Zach. Not going well for us at all. So I'm not going to go through them all because we did a lot, but I want to click in on some of these. Aaron Rodgers, game started 14.5. We are looking good on that Looking good on that one. Here's one. More sacks, Bryce Huff or Hassan Reddick? I don't think either of us could have predicted way that's gone.
I think there might be. Oh no, Bryce is like slightly ahead of him right now. I think he has like 1.5. So
yeah.
But, and Hassan has a half.
Yeah, it's bad. Going bad. The Rodgers ones are interesting, actually. Aaron Rodgers' touchdown pass. Now, he could easily still miss, still not get to 14.5 games started. Yeah. But so far, so good. Sure. Aaron Rodgers' touchdown pass is 29.5. I think he has 15?
Yeah, I think I wrote he's on pace for, 28. I think I had him not. I think the record for Jets is 31. I still don't think he gets there, but maybe. Like, if he keeps playing like he did in that Texans game and Garrett keeps going off, maybe.
All right, this one's real bad. Over under Breece Hall total yards from scrimmage.
Oh, yeah.
1,942, which is the franchise record, Curtis Martin. That was where we set the over under. We both said, now for Rodgers, we both said under. So if he does get at 28, we'd click in on there. We both said Huff. I said Rodgers wouldn't start 14.5. You said he would. So you're looking better right there. But we both said that Breece Hall would hit the over on the 1942. He's going to have one heck of a second half.
Yeah. I mean, he had a pretty great second half last year, so maybe.
Yeah. But
yeah, because he had some rough rushing games over the course of this season. So
Garrett Wilson, 99.5 catches. As good as he's playing right now, that's still going to be tricky. Zuerlein, here's one.
Yeah.
Although we were split on this. Zuerlein, 50-plus yard field goals, 5.5. I said over, you said under.
I'm looking good on that.
So good job by you.
Although Douglas did say today,
he predicted that he would be replaced at the midseason.
Well, Douglas did say today they still believe in him, and you know when they still believe that he can kick some field goals for a winning Jets team. So maybe he's not done yet. Maybe you can come back and he gets back from IR and returns to his old form and helps Tim's over under.
I guess by putting him on IR, they did leave that door.
Yeah, because exactly.
If you just release him,
I don't see any way he kicks another field goal for the Jets. But you know, he did say that. Yeah. So.
Interesting. Here's a good one: Will McDonald sacks. We set the line at 5.5. I said under. You said over.
We've already got it.
Blown that one away.
My God! Yeah,
six games, right? He had five.
Nobody could have reasonably said over under 10.5, which it feels like it should have been now. So
yeah. Mike Williams receptions 50. We both said under. Good job.
We knew it was gonna happen like this for sure. Yeah. I mean, I was wondering I didn't know how he would look because of his ACL, but yeah.
Yeah. Alan Lazard receptions 30.5. We both already said over. Under. I feel like
I think he's already over.
And then Malachi Corley 30.5. I said over. You said under.
So he's going to have a pretty good second half of the season to get that.
Yeah.
Who knows? Although if he gets like five catches a game, who knows? Yeah.
How many targets do you think he gets per game here until Lazard gets
if you're telling me everybody stays healthy, then he won't get many. But like if
it would only be the next couple weeks, right? Until Lazard's back anyway.
Yeah, true. Good point. Yeah.
Tyler Conklin, 60 and a half. I said under, you said over. Good. No. Joe Douglas trades for new players. 1.5. He only did the one, right?
No, Michael. Devontae Adams.
He traded for a pick. Devontae Adams, so one.
No, well, two trades.
He made
trading for a player. You're right.
He made two trades, but the over-under was for a player. Yeah. Touché. Well, I guess if you say that pick is a player, but...
Yeah, it's not. That's not. The idea was like players, so... Yeah,
the idea is they're buying, not selling, right?
Yes, yes.
And finally, the last one, which undrafted free agent gets the most playing time? Leonard Taylor, Braden McGregor, Eric Watts. I have no idea where that stands.
I think Leonard Taylor has gotten the most. Eric Watts did have that moment where he tackled the long snapper and led to the missed field goal. So, but yeah, those guys, Braden McGregor was the first one to get snaps.
We both said season. McGregor, by the way.
Yeah, because he emerged at the end, and he was playing in week one. He was the only one active of those three, but all three of them have kind of faded, and the fact that they had to rely on them at all was, you know, one of Joe Douglas's biggest indictments was how he kind of destroyed the D-line going into the season. It looks better now, but it looked pretty bad there for a stretch. So
let's get into the Cardinals game.
Yeah.
5-4. This is a first place. Wow. Arizona Cardinals football team in the wild NFC West. That division is all kinds of fun. I think it's 5-4, and then what, 4-4, 4-4, 4-4? What is that?
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. There's the like middle of the NFL right now is wild because everybody's like right next to each other. I think there's like something like six teams that have two wins, so they're all tied for the worst record. I feel like it's
5-4, 4-4, 4-4, and the Seahawks are 4-5.
Right.
I think everybody kind of assumed the 49ers would run away with that division.
Yeah.
So
the Rams have picked it up lately since they got healthy too. So that's part of why this schedule, everybody talked about this latter half being easy. It does not look easy anymore, I don't think, because you have the Cardinals who are, like I said, I think pretty good. Colts look weird, but they're in the playoff hunt. Dolphins are better than the record, I think, now that Tua is back. The Rams are better than if you had asked like a few weeks ago about the Rams. They look really good right now.
The Rams have won three in a row, just like the Cardinals.
And you have the Bills, who are the, you know, maybe the second best team in the AFC right now, so, or third best team. So the schedule does not look so easy anymore for a team that needs to either win out or only lose like once or twice the rest of the way for even a shot. So.
You got to get both Dolphins games.
Every year we do this, and I tried to like caution everybody before the season. Like you look at the schedule now and you say it looks easy at a certain point, but we're going to get there. And it's all of a sudden you're going to be like, wait, the first half was easier than the second half. Actually, if you look at it in retrospect, and because that's how it always happens, because you don't know year to year, which teams are going to be good. So, tough stretch coming up. The Jets are still more talented than I on paper than a lot of these teams coming up, including the Cardinals, but none of these games are going to be easy.
They get the mini bye week, which didn't work out last time around. Hopefully this time they better use the rest. But despite the rest, the injury list still long. Jake Hansen questionable, Michael Carter II questionable, John Simpson questionable, CJ Mosley questionable, Elijah Vera Tucker questionable, Tony Adams, Ashton Davis. Are any of these guys going to be ready to play come Sunday?
Yeah. So I have the injury report in front of me. Let's see, all the do not practices today. We got Michael Carter II back, Jake Hansen hamstring, Morgan Moses knee, CJ Mosley neck, John Simpson groin, Tyron Smith vet day, Solomon Thomas knee, Elijah Vera Tucker ankle.
I need a vet day, by the way.
Yeah. Tyron Smith gets those. So Michael Carter, I don't feel great about. He was off to the side. Jake Hansen, I don't think will play. He was declared out pretty immediately the other day. Morgan Moses will play, I think. CJ Mosley we should have asked for more specifics, but Jeff Ulbrich said he had a couple procedures on his neck to make it so it wasn't so stiff anymore or something. Like that's neck injuries are scary. Yeah. Like I just don't see how he's going to be back anytime soon, but that's just me like reading the tea leaves. They haven't put him on IR, which is always a sign they could come back. I thought the fact that they didn't put AVT on IR meant that he might be back sooner, but I almost said Salah. Ulbrich didn't sound very confident that he'd be ready this week. Simpson seemed like the one that out of that those guards that maybe he could be back. He said he was feeling better today, but he still didn't practice today. So, I mean, that's three guards on their injury report. So there's a decent chance that we're going to be having two tackles playing guard for them this week. Tony Adams is on the way back, so that's at least positive. And Aaron Rodgers had his first full practice on a Wednesday in a long time. So he's feeling as good as he has.
It's cayenne pepper water.
Yeah, the cayenne pepper water. But, you know, the Jets are going to be rolling maybe with the four tackles and one center offensive line, which is wild to think about. But it was pretty effective. So maybe that's the key. Maybe the problem they've had is they've been playing too many interior linemen. They should be playing
too many guards.
The outside guards. Guys inside. Just do all tackles. I mean, even Joe Tippmann has the size of like a tackle. He's like 6'6". So we'll see. I mean, Olu is getting practice reps now at guard. How will he do when he's not just thrown into the fire and, you know, kind of running around with his hair on fire? He played pretty well. So did Max Mitchell. But, you know, the Cardinals' D-line isn't that intimidating. They just traded for Baron Browning on the Broncos. He's kind of a young developmental guy. Dan Bader said they're starting a new NFL trend with playing all tackles.
All tackles.
But yeah, you know, the Cardinals' D-line does not scare me. But, you know, they did have a lot of sacks last week. I'm blanking on who they played. They played somebody. Oh, the Bears, and they killed them, actually. The Bears have a terrible offensive line, though. So I think the Jets, if the Jets can keep Aaron clean, which they should be able to, should be a pretty good day. The Cardinals have some talent on the back end, like Buda Baker is still there. He's pretty good. But their defense does not scare you. It's their offense that should scare you.
Yeah, their defense, 24th passing yards against, 22nd running yards against. The Jets offense, though, 30th in the league in rushing yards right now. So that doesn't seem the path, but hopefully there are some openings in the air. But Kyler Murray is scary, right? Like,
yeah, he's playing well.
He's playing well recently. He's one of these guys that I still like all these years into the NFL, I don't know really what to make of
him. Yeah, totally.
He's such a high pick. But the thing that he can do that the Jets have, you know, the Patriots burned them on while Drake May was in. And even when Jacoby Brissett came in, he got some rushing yards. Yeah. But Murray has 350 rushing yards. Obviously, he can be electric with his legs. 11 passing touchdowns to 3 interceptions. He's not making a ton of mistakes. No. But it's those rushing yards that scare me and him escaping the pocket. I just picture Michael Clemens like standing in quicksand.
He always seems to be on the field. He always seems to be on the field in those moments. Yeah.
So that's scary.
Yeah. I mean, that Kyler, to your point, like he really doesn't. I think he maybe had the reputation a little bit before that he would make some mistakes, but he really doesn't he doesn't throw a lot of interceptions, and he doesn't like put it in a position to get intercepted a lot, which, you know, the Jets don't really force a lot of turnovers in that way, especially Sauce and DJ don't have any picks. I honestly think one of Sauce's problems has been he's been so desperate to like get those picks that I think that aggression has hurt him a little bit. But so yeah, there's that concern. Marvin Harrison and Ulbrich said to stay. He's like, unfortunately, you can see him and Kyler getting on the same page. Marvin Harrison's very talented. He hasn't quite had like his breakout game yet, but the Jets have been giving up some big plays down the field. So that's something to keep an eye on. But yeah, it's the running game. Ultimately, it's number one, containing Kyler Murray, because they are going to run the ball with him. He's going to scramble if the play breaks down. And the Jets have just been terrible at handling that. Not only Drake May, Jacoby Brissett had a key. He's not fast. He had a key first down in that game. Drake May looked great. C.J. Stroud was running a lot. And Kyler's faster than all of them. So something to keep an eye on. And on top of that, you have James Conner, who's a really strong, tough runner. In the like Joe Mixon and some of these running backs they face that have succeeded against them, he's kind of in that mold. And so I'm concerned about the Jets' ability to stop that rushing attack. The Cardinals are going to run it down their throat, and the Jets know it. Can they stop it? Because their fundamentals have been off. Jeff Ulbrich has said this. The tackling's been poor. The positioning's been poor. Getting off the blocks in the run game. Hassan Reddick has been really good as a pass rusher, but like the way he rushes the passer is he kind of just goes run. I mean, this is what Belichick kind of made fun of him about. Running right past to the point where like it creates a lane for the quarterback to run into, so that they need to work on that and probably have a QB spy of some sort on Kyler. I know Will McDonald has done that in the past. I think you want him running at the quarterback, but you have Will McDonald. I think Jamie and Sherwood's and Quincy Williams are both very athletic. they need to come up with a creative way to keep Kyler in the pocket as much as you can, or don't let him get the huge gains that can kill them. Because if the Cardinals are controlling the clock, they're going to try and keep the Jets offense off the field, because I think the Cardinals defense isn't very good. They're well coached. I think Jonathan Gannon has been a much better coach than I expected. But so yeah, I feel like the Jets are going to win this game. Like, if gun to my head prediction, I do think they win, but like pretty quickly, if we're seeing James Conner and Kyler running all over them and they take a lead and they're able to control the clock, then I don't feel great about it. But the Jets should absolutely win this game. There's a reason why it's a pick 'em, even though the Jets are 3-6, because the Jets are the more talented team. The Cardinals are better coached. So we'll find out which wins out.
I mean, how many times this year have we said the Jets should win this game?
But yes, yes.
Maybe we can just keep pointing back to the Garrett catch as the turning point. Over under 46 in this one. So I think, you know, the expectation is that it'll be a bit of a shootout. So we'll see how that goes. You mentioned the move in the line. I think it started as Cardinals -2, and now it's even. So definitely the money is going towards the Jets. Speaking of not gambling, but making picks on games, let's check in on our picks. Here's a look at the standings. If you are on YouTube, take a look. I'll go through them if you're not checking out the video version of the show. But last week's winner, Mets Strife. Jets Strife, Mets Strife. At least the Mets had a heck of a season this year. But anyway, Mets Strife, 7. Boy Green, 7. And Ted Delgado, 7. And Juicer, 7. So four-way tie for the top. So then it goes to the points in the Monday night game. And Mets Strife gets the win. He went with 48 points. The total ended up being 54 between Kansas City and Tampa Bay. So that is a look at the week. So congratulations to Mets Strife. We'll get that award out to you in the mail, the watch. So congratulations on that. As far as the season total goes, if I can get this to load, I think it's
it's crapping out.
It's crapping out. But anyway, there we go. Boy Green back in front with 52 total points. Mr. Slippery, 1 back at 51. Joe 2356 is third with 50. And then Historic Sight, I think, is where he's going with for that, is 49. So 4 within striking distance within 3 games. We're only at the halfway point, so plenty of time to go. Again, the winner of the season-long competition gets a nice, beautiful watch as well. The weekly awards, no weekly award this week. So take aim at that end-of-season award and getting back into those standings. All right. Anything else we missed, Zach, before we say goodbye?
Yeah, small thing. So the Browns cut Quentin Jefferson, defensive tackle, yesterday. He was really good for the Jets last year. I think Jets fans got excited at the idea of bringing him back because he would feel a need. He chose to go to the Bills, which I think it's honestly hard to blame him. He has played for the Bills before too, which I honestly forgot. Our Bills writer, Joe Buscaglia, pointed that out to me, but he basically said he wanted to go somewhere, you know, that was a contender, and the Bills are that. So hard to blame him, even if he would have been a perfect fit. He's a great locker room guy. I think he was very, very well regarded around here. And I think he was better last year than Javon Kinlaw's been this year. So I know Jets fans were annoyed by that, but kind of, and especially because he went to an AFC East team that they're going to have to play this year. But
I mean, if the Jets are 6-3, who knows?
Exactly. So hard to blame him, but that's the way it goes.
All right. Well, thanks to everybody for checking out the live stream, or if you're checking out the audio, thanks a lot. Get on that Discord as well if you want great conversations going there in the Badlands Discord. We have our own little channel within that. And we will be back on Monday with our typical 4 downs game reaction. See how this Jets team does. Does this become a streak? 2 wins in a row? Can we start building towards this being maybe a special second half of the season? We will see. We'll talk to everybody then.
Think about businesses that are selling through the roof. Allbirds, or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.